Anything else? Polly, how's...
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
With me as your president, America's police will have a true friend and loyal champion in the White House, more loyal than anyone else can be.
President Trump says law enforcement has a president they can trust. Speaking at the FBI Academy's graduation ceremony in Virginia, the president noted that he has your back. He condemned anti-police sentiments in the U.S. and has said his administration will not stand for it.
Police departments are overstretched. They're underfunded, and they're totally underappreciated.
A pair of storm systems are bringing more snow from the Great Lakes to the Northeast. The first system will bring cold air and much more snow from Minnesota to Michigan and into parts of New York and Pennsylvania. In fact, officials with the Keystone State have already issued a lake effect snow warning. Then later today, millions of people from Washington, D.C. to New York City and into Boston will get hit with a coastal storm system bringing plenty of snow. This is USA Radio News.
Are you wearing contacts or glasses right now? Imagine this, opening your eyes tomorrow to 20/20 vision. No daily contacts or glasses needed. It can happen, and it is affordable. TLC Laser Eye Centers wants to help as many people as possible achieve 20/20 vision, so they're offering a fantastic price on their premium LASIK experience. TLC uses the latest FDA-approved all-laser LASIK technology, and for less than what you might think. Find out if LASIK is right for you. Call TLC now for a free consultation. 800-978-5555. 1515. Be one of the first 50 listeners to call today and get $400 off your all-laser LASIK procedure. That's a savings of $200 per eye. TLC Laser Eye Centers has over 20 years' experience and performed over 2 million procedures. Let our team help you. For your free consultation, call now. 800-978-1515. 800-978-1515. 800-978-1515. Results may vary.
The government issues another pair of positive results on the U.S. economy. USA's Chris Barnes has details.
Two more signs of the strength of the U.S. economy. The Commerce Department saying that November retail sales were up by 0.8% in November when economists polled ahead of time were expecting a 0.3% increase. And the Labor Department says there were 225,000 filings for first-time unemployment benefits in the week ending last Saturday, 14,000 fewer claims than analysts had expected. And it's the fourth consecutive week that claims were down. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
A New York woman is facing charges after attempting to launder money through Bitcoin to aid ISIS. Authorities say 27-year-old Zubis Sanish raised money on Long Island, converted it to Bitcoins, and then allegedly tried to send it to ISIS fighters in Syria. She could spend more than 30 years in prison if she's convicted. We have more headlines online at usaradio.com. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
People are rushing to sign up for Obamacare ahead of today's open enrollment deadline. Correspondent Mark Mayfield fills us in.
More than 1 million people chose insurance through the Federal Health Care Exchange last week. That makes 4.7 million since open enrollment began on November the 1st. The total number is likely to fall short of last year's 9.2 million, which featured a longer enrollment period and more public outreach from the White House. Some states that run their own exchanges have extended the enrollment period.
Goldman Sachs is requiring some of its clients to set aside funds equal to the value of their Bitcoin futures trade. A spokesman says this requirement is part of a condition for clearing transactions. Several other trade companies are also imposing steeper requirements than the exchange, which experts say is common. Bitcoin's unpredictability has spurred many large banks to hold off on clearing trades. Some critics say requiring 100% by Goldman may be too high. A procession carrying the body of late San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee is underway. The motorcade took Mayor Lee from Duggan's mortuary in Daly City to stop by his house in the Glen Park neighborhood in the city. A public memorial will take place Sunday afternoon. Recapping our top story, President Trump is assuring law enforcement they have a loyal ally in the White House. Speaking at the FBI Academy's graduation ceremony in Virginia, President told members of law enforcement that he has their back. He praised the new FBI class after slamming the bureau at the White House. He also condemned anti-police sentiments in the U.S. and said the administration will not stand for it. Join us online for more news at usaradio.com. I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
Morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is BobBurnsSpeaks.com, and I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hunterdon Chamber Radio entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Well, good afternoon on this snowy Friday. I'm Pat Smits, the host of It's the Law. However, we'll talk about the weather first, and guess what? They did get it correct. This afternoon, they said there was a 100% chance of snow. Earlier this afternoon, I was questioning that. However, the high this afternoon, about 27 degrees, chance of precipitation, 100%. So the total daytime accumulation today is predicted between 1 and 2 inches. They said that was possible. Now, tonight, 80% chance of snow before 7 p.m., and then later precipitation chance is 80% new snow accumulation less than 1 inch. Then they predict that it'll be clear later tonight, and tomorrow increasing clouds, but not predicted to be any snow. There's a slight chance of snow tomorrow night, Saturday night, 20%, and that would be mainly it's going to be cloudy. There is a slight chance, as I said, of snow showers. By Sunday, it should be very beautiful, mostly sunny, high of about 38 degrees. Then again on Sunday night, a 30% chance of snow, partly sunny on Monday. So it looks like the best day really should be Sunday because it'll be mostly sunny. So what's happening this 15th of December? Can't believe we're half through the month. And one of the things that I'd like to at least suggest, I am not a tax attorney, I do family law, but I think people should check with their accountant, especially those of us who live in New Jersey and in Hunterdon County. Because many people, I might even want to say most, have and pay taxes, real estate taxes, of more than $10,000. Although we don't know exactly what the final tax bill will be, it's predicted that only $10,000 will be able to be deducted from real estate taxes starting next year. Now, that's really significant because it looks fairly certain that that provision will still be in the bill that's passed. And let's remember why. The high state tax, meaning state tax and property taxes, are in states such as New Jersey, New York, Connecticut. People in Mississippi and Iowa really are not going to be worried about paying more than $10,000 a year in real estate taxes. There are most states, real estate taxes are fairly low. Now, I don't want to say that this is being directed at some of the blue states and the high-tax states, but that's certainly one conclusion that can be made. Also, the legislators from other states don't have to worry about any kind of pushback from their constituents when this it will not be affecting them at all. And if it's affecting anyone, perhaps it's going to be affecting only those who have mansions. Because really, $10,000 for most homes in most states is less than what they pay in real estate taxes. Now, California is interesting, and I probably should have checked this before I say so because it could have changed. But the real estate taxes in California, at least the places that I'm aware of, the taxes were set at the purchase price of the home when it was purchased. So I've had friends, for example, who live in California, and they could purchase a home that was exactly like the home next door, but their taxes would be substantially higher if they purchased it recently, because the other people, if they'd been living there for 20 or 30 years, their taxes would have stayed very low. Now, I am sorry if I'm giving any wrong information, because this is just something that I recall, and it seems so strange to me. And at least in one community, taxes did not go up if people renovated their homes. So there were tremendous renovations on smaller homes because the people wanted to keep their taxes lower. But in any event, for those of us who live in Hunterdon County, that could be significant because we will lose the right to deduct anything more than $10,000. So one of the things that you might want to think about and talk to your attorney or your accountant or your tax preparer is whether or not you should prepay taxes, meaning real estate taxes, this year. I don't know if that would, in fact, it should, of course, be then able to be deducted from your itemized deductions. If you take itemized deductions, should be able to be deducted in 2017. So that you could, in fact, if you think you're going to owe $20,000 in real estate taxes, pay $10,000 this year and then get the ability to deduct 10 next year. I don't think that that should be a problem if you prepay taxes. But to check that, be sure to check with your accountant. There's another tax provision that is going to really affect people who I deal with, and that is the deduction for alimony payments. And the way the law, the current law and the law that's been, I don't know, I think in effect as long as I've been an attorney, which is almost 40 years, is that the person who pays alimony can deduct it from their income, and the recipient of the alimony includes it. Well, so let's take a scenario where, and there's some changes, of course, and it does affect some things, but let's assume that, and I'll use the traditional husband pays wife alimony. So let's assume that parties are divorced and the husband agrees to pay the wife $10,000 a year in alimony. Well, in general, this would, when you talk about it, it would only, because of his, depending on his tax bracket, he will save more money, and because the wife, if she's getting alimony, would be in a lower bracket. So it's easier in higher brackets to think about this concept. For example, if someone is, let's say, pays $100,000 a year in alimony, which is obviously significant, this person would normally be in about a 40% tax bracket based on what he would be earning in order to pay $100,000 a year in alimony. Well, this means that he has a savings, a significant savings, because if he's in the 40% bracket, federal and state, he would be paying $100,000 but in fact gets a $40,000 deduction, so pays, he in fact is paying $60,000. Now you'd say, well, so what? Well, the fact is then he pays wife $60,000, and let's assume that she's in, the 20% bracket. Well, out of that $60,000, she would be paying 20%, so that she would have $40,000 of the $60,000 to use. And that because of that spread, it's significant. And it really helps negotiate a fair amount of alimony, because in that sense, the former wife is getting more money than the former husband would be able to pay her in the future. Now, this is, there's some dispute on this, but the question, and I don't think it's a dispute, and I've had accountants who've confirmed this is going to go into effect only for those divorces after January 1st of 2018. So there is a rush to the courthouse this next week, because our courts are only open until Friday, and so that people who get divorced this year can still deduct alimony by the payor, meaning the person who pays alimony will still be able to get that a deduction on his or her income tax return. And that will not change just because the law changes. In other words, anyone who is divorced now and paying alimony gets grandfathered. We can talk about whether that's fair or not, but we won't. So that this will only go into effect next year. However, there is another concern, and there is a dispute as to whether or not agreements that are changed after January 1st of 2018, if in fact the alimony provisions are changed, whether or not it falls under the new rule or under the old rule. So in other words, if the husband goes back next year, this high income earner, and is able to reduce his alimony to $80,000 a year rather than the $100,000, well, it could be that that'll actually cost him more, because he won't get any deduction for paying $80,000 after the first of the year, where now, so he would have $80,000 of income that he can't deduct, where now he really has, because of the 40%, he's really able to deduct $40,000, which the net effect to him is to pay less. I know this sounds a little confusing. So anyone trying to negotiate a settlement, get it done. Our courts are open until Friday the 22nd. They're closed after that until January. And at least the judge in the presiding family judge in this vicinage has indicated that someone who gets an agreement on the 27th or 28th, that will not be an emergency to call in an emergency judge to hear the divorce. And in fact, it will require the divorce before the end of the year, not just a settlement agreement. Okay, what else do I want to talk about? Well, I try usually not to talk much about family law. Are there any other tax considerations? Yes, there are some significant other tax considerations. For New Jerseyans, we will not be able to deduct, unless they change it, we will not be able to deduct our state taxes. And so that this is meaning that those of us who live in high tax states, New Jersey, New York, California, Connecticut, and there are a few more, will overall be paying significantly more taxes than people who live in low tax states. And that's really significant, and it can be very significant. And of course, most states do not have, either they don't have taxes at all, meaning state income taxes, or their taxes are very low. So that and people would say, well, so their taxes are lower. But most of those states also, they have perhaps lower incomes, so that the people are paying less federal tax than those of us who live in, you know, states where most people's income, at least in the Northeast, it's more than people who, you know, may have the same job, work the same job, but in, you know, Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas. So that, again, that's going to be significant. Actually, I've not heard anyone that is anyone who is really a neutral observer indicate that the tax, so-called tax reform, is fair and equitable to middle-class families. One accountant indicated to me that anyone whose incomes are $75,000, and that may seem like a lot to people. However, in New Jersey, certainly someone who's earning $75,000 is still considered middle class. In any event, this accountant says that anyone who's earning $75,000 or even less will be paying higher taxes. And what should be scary for those of us who have children and grandchildren is the deficit is going to be increased. Predictions are $1.2 trillion to $1.4 trillion. And so much of the federal spending now is going to pay off interest on debt that this is really significant. Anyway, back to regular law. One case that should be of interest, it was not a published case, but should be of interest and concern, certainly concern for people who are receiving alimony and child support, is a case that was decided by the appellate division this week. In fact, it just was reported as an unreported case today, which means it doesn't have precedent, but is certainly something to look at. And that is Stephens, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S, versus Pickett. And as I said, it's a New Jersey appellate-level case, but because it's not published, it is not binding on other judges. So in this case, the parties were the parents of twins, and the twins are currently 12 years old. And the mother being the primary caretaker of the children. And previously, the trial court entered an order directing that the father pay $230 per week in child support for the two children. Following his layoff from employment, he petitioned for a reduction in child support based on a change in his circumstances. His former wife did not submit a certification, but appeared for the hearing requesting an adjournment as she had not received either the former husband's complaint or documents which had been attached. And at that point, the trial court denied the adjournment and she appeared for the hearing requesting an adjournment because she had not received either the former husband's complaint or the documents which had been attached. The court, and this is really should not have happened, but the court denied the adjournment request and imputed income without any evidence. As a result of that, the trial court reduced the father's, I guess that's the easiest way to say that, reduced the father's obligation from $230 a week to $105 a week. Now, on appeal, the former wife's argument was that he failed to show he experienced a change in circumstances to warrant such a reduction in child support. She also contended that the trial court erred in failing to adjourn so she could obtain the subject documents that were properly needed and prepared for the hearing. So the court, meaning the appellate court, reversed, holding the trial judge failed to grant the former wife an adjournment to provide her with an opportunity to examine her former husband's financial documents and prepare for the hearing. The court noted on a the court noted that an adjournment would not have been prejudicial, and moreover, the trial judge failed to make any findings of fact and conclusions of law as required by the rule, and it's a specific rule that requires judges to make findings of fact and conclusions of law, and that's rule of court 1:7-4, paren A and paren. Finally, the court held that the respondent did not make a prima facie showing of changed circumstances, including a lack of evidence regarding the. But this is the court should have found and made findings of fact and conclusions of law, including whether or not he had attempted to find gainful employment. So accordingly, the court in that case reversed. There is another case, and I'm not sure that I have not obtained it yet, but there is a case where a former husband's income that was reduced in half, he was entitled to a reduction. And what happened is he went to work for Pfizer after losing his position as general counsel for Lucent Technologies. So he had to take a pay cut, a significant pay cut, in the process. And that should have been taken into consideration in connection with his child support and alimony obligations. And so this was another appellate decision that has been reported. I don't have a copy of that case yet. But that is, of course, very significant. And it would be significant whether or not he looked for comparable jobs. But, of course, if he was general counsel at Lucent Technologies, it would be very difficult for him to get a job that was comparable. And the court basically said, as a result of that, his alimony and child support would be reduced. And I will, of course, take a look and talk about that case next week. Now, I guess we don't have next week. Actually, we're going to be not here next week because that's the Friday before Christmas, and I believe the chamber is going to be closed, or at least the radio is going to be doing rerun broadcasts. So that's one of the cases that, you know, I think will have to be looked at, certainly by all family lawyers and certainly by everybody who's concerned, and everybody should be concerned if a person paying alimony and child support is laid off. One of the concerns has been in the past that there's needs to be proof of obligation and trying to get new employment. And I'm going to bring you a couple notes from our sponsors, and then we're going to be back, and we have a special guest today. Bill Wolfson is going to talk with me about some of the things that I know nothing about and to give you that information. So hold on. Take just a few minutes, and we'll be back.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber, As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Well, we're back, and this is Pat Smith, the program It's the Law, and I was about to introduce you to Nanook of the North, except he took off his outer jacket and the cap that went almost over his entire face. He actually looked like he was about to watch a Packer football game. But my guest today and my friend is Bill Wolfson, and you know Bill as, for those of you who know he's an attorney in Flemington. He specializes in bankruptcy and commercial work. He's also my friend and one of the sports guys. So, Bill, I was hoping that you could give us some updates on what's happening in the bankruptcy field.
Well, in a wonderful world of bankruptcy law, there are a lot of new decisions that are being written by our judges in Trenton, Newark, and Camden, and I thought I'd focus today on two of them. One from 2016, written by our chief bankruptcy judge, Judge Ferguson, in a case involving financial abuse of the elderly and the use of a power of attorney by an individual basically to raid the bank accounts of one of his older friends. In another case, I want to talk about how in Chapter 13, while we can modify mortgages or lien strip a second mortgage, it's not and get rid of it at the end of a case without having to pay it off. Some of the necessary ingredients to do that, and the decision rendered by Judge Gravel earlier this year in 2017. It's kind of hard to believe how fast the year has flown by, and you know we've gotten a lot of good opinions out of our bankruptcy judges in Trenton, Newark, and Camden. So I'd like to talk first about In re David McCaffrey. David McCaffrey was the kind of guy who I would say stopped working at a certain point in his life when he was in his 40s. And ran through his family's money, and then became friendly with an older gentleman, a very well-educated fellow, got a general power of attorney, rather, from his father, the original power of attorney was not properly notarized. It was signed again and re-notarized in May of 2010, and Dad named his son as the executor of his will. Unfortunately, he had a son, David, who had a power of attorney. Patrick McCaffrey died on July 16th, 2010, at about 7:16 in the morning. On that same day, his son decided he would sign a check made payable to cash for himself and go to Bank of America and pull it out of his late father's account. Now, many of you don't know that a power of attorney is revoked, even a durable power of attorney is revoked, which is effective on disability, but it is revoked when the person who gave the power of attorney died. So, Mr. McCaffrey, the son, was exercising the right, a right that he no longer had when he signed his dad's name to a check, went to the bank, and cashed it in to get $25,000. His brother sued him, and in the state court, there was a judge in Ocean County who ordered him to repay $25,000 within 10 days, about after years of litigation. What happened after that is that he never paid it. He then decided he would file a bankruptcy, and he was unable to get a bankruptcy discharge. Why? Because Bankruptcy Code Section 523A4 says that you cannot be given a bankruptcy discharge for a debt incurred by fraud or defalcation while acting in a fiduciary capacity, meaning you've got a power of attorney, embezzlement, or larceny. And Judge Ferguson went through a whole series of analysis. The first step is finding what whether or not the person who wanted to get a bankruptcy discharge, in this case McCaffrey, the son, was acting in a fiduciary capacity. And it's a question of federal law. If you have a power of attorney, most courts decide that that creates a fiduciary relationship under Bankruptcy Code Section 523A4, which means you better use the money right or you're in deep trouble. The second thing is courts look to see whether there was an improper balance of power between the principal, meaning the person who gives the power of attorney, and the attorney in fact, the guy who gets the power of attorney or gal who gets the power of attorney. And then what happens is the question is whether there's an imbalance of power and an inability to monitor the attorney, in fact, very much like what's called the confidential relationship in will contests. So Judge Ferguson found that the dad, Patrick G. McCaffrey, was an elderly man who could not care for himself. In the week prior to his death, his son David arranged for him to be in a nursing home. On his first morning in the nursing home, he fell and went to the hospital. His nursing home stay was extended so that he could have 24-hour nursing care. He then passed away on the morning he was scheduled to return to his home. As the facts demonstrated, during the relevant period of time, there was a power imbalance because the father was dependent on his son to arrange for care and an inability to monitor his son's activities because Mr. McCaffrey was in a nursing home. Under those facts, Judge Ferguson found that the debtor was acting in a fiduciary capacity for his father under the meaning of the bankruptcy code. The next issue the judge had to wrestle with, and I think she wrestled this one to the ground pretty well, was whether the debtor committed fraud or defalcation while acting as a fiduciary for his father. Our U.S. Supreme Court recently figured out what defalcation meant after about 150 years of litigation and decided that it could even mean a non-dishonest or non-fraudulent breach of a fiduciary duty. Defalcation, D-E-F-A-L-C-A-T-I-O-N, describes a state of mind involving knowledge of or gross negligence with respect to the improper nature of the relevant fiduciary behavior. So the evidence that fell short that he knew, that Mr. McCaffrey knew that he acted with actual knowledge that cashing a large check at the day of his father's death was improper behavior. However, the judge did find that Mr. McCaffrey, the son, holding the power of attorney, did act recklessly. And recklessness is sufficient for establishing defalcation. So she used a lower standard than she thought might be used. What's recklessness? It may not be an intentional wrong, but intentional conduct may also be the kind of reckless conduct that criminal law talks about as reckless. So let's talk about that, because that's an interesting concept. Where actual knowledge of wrongdoing is lacking, we consider conduct as equivalent if the fiduciary, meaning the guy holding the power of attorney, is consciously disregards or is willfully blind to a substantial and unjustifiable risk that his conduct will turn out to violate a fiduciary duty. Knowledge was designed to include willful blindness under the criminal law in our model penal code. The risk must be of, quote, such a nature and degree that considering the nature and purpose of the actor's conduct and the circumstances known to him, its disregard involves a gross deviation from a standard of conduct that an honest and law-abiding person would observe in the actual situation. And at trial, both sides emphasized the timing of the cashing of the check and the timing when Mr. McCaffrey became aware that his dad passed away. But the judge found that focusing on those time periods actually missed the point. Even if the court would accept the fact that the check was actually signed on the morning that Dad died prior to his death, and were to accept the fact that the time the debtor actually cashed the check, got the $25,000 and put it into his own account, he was unaware of his father's death, he would still be guilty of defalcation for spending the money. And then, by spending the money, because he used the money in his account that he had taken from his dad, he was acting with gross recklessness with regard to his fiduciary duty. He was or should have been aware that his authority to act under the power of attorney terminated upon the death of his father. Likewise, he was or should have been aware that he was not the sole beneficiary of his father's will, and he should have been aware that he was not the executor. His actions demonstrated that he was willfully blind to those facts, and even so, he cashed a check. Even if he cashed a check before he was aware his dad had died, he spent the money after he was aware of it, rather than give it back to his estate, because the only proper action he could have taken was to safeguard the $25,000 until it could be distributed in accordance with his father's will. He no longer had the right to use his money, his dad's money, even if, as he testified, he was merely following through on his father's instructions. I don't think the judge swallowed that explanation. The debtor's right to act on his father's behalf ended when the power of attorney was terminated. The power of attorney is terminated upon death.
And Bill, I'm going to interrupt a minute. Only, let's see, we don't think we're on the air, so I'm going to try to see if we can play a spot from one of our...
Are we not on the air?
I don't think so, but we'll checking
out,
it. That's
we?
Why I'm going to just play a spot from one of our sponsors, since we may be talking to dead air.
Oh, I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
If you're listening, we can't tell that the internet is not down, so we're going to play a few more commercials until we can figure this out, or else we're going to go out and play in the snow. And if you are listening, you probably can look out your window and see this beautiful snowfall. At least it was coming down a few minutes ago when I came in to the radio station.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
With me as your president, America's police will have a true friend and loyal champion in the White House, more loyal than anyone else can be.
President Trump says law enforcement has a president they can trust. Speaking at the FBI Academy's graduation ceremony in Virginia, the president noted that he has your back. He condemned anti-police sentiments in the U.S. and has said his administration will not stand for it.
Police departments are overstretched. They're underfunded, and they're totally underappreciated.
A pair of storm systems are bringing more snow from the Great Lakes to the Northeast. The first system will bring cold air and much more snow from Minnesota to Michigan and into parts of New York and Pennsylvania. In fact, officials with the Keystone State have already issued a lake effect snow warning. Then later today, millions of people from Washington, D.C. to New York City and into Boston will get hit with a coastal storm system bringing plenty of snow. This is USA Radio News.
Are you wearing contacts or glasses right now? Imagine this, opening your eyes tomorrow to 20/20 vision. No daily contacts or glasses needed. It can happen, and it is affordable. TLC Laser Eye Centers wants to help as many people as possible achieve 20/20 vision, so they're offering a fantastic price on their premium LASIK experience. TLC uses the latest FDA-approved all-laser LASIK technology, and for less than what you might think. Find out if LASIK is right for you. Call TLC now for a free consultation. 800-978-15.
1515. Be one of the first 50 listeners to call today and get $400 off your all-laser LASIK procedure. That's a savings of $200 per eye. TLC Laser Eye Centers has over 20 years' experience and performed over 2 million procedures. Let our team help you. For your free consultation, call now. 800-978-1515. 800-978-1515. 800-978-1515. Results may vary.
The government issues another pair of positive results on the U.S. economy. USA's Chris Barnes has details.
Two more signs of the strength of the U.S. economy. The Commerce Department saying that November retail sales were up by 0.8% in November when economists polled ahead of time were expecting a 0.3% increase. And the Labor Department says there were 225,000 filings for first-time unemployment benefits in the week ending last Saturday, 14,000 fewer claims than analysts had expected. And it's the fourth consecutive week that claims were down. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
A New York woman is facing charges after attempting to launder money through Bitcoin to aid ISIS. Authorities say 27-year-old Zubia Sanich raised money on Long Island, converted it to Bitcoins, and then allegedly tried to send it to ISIS fighters in Syria. She could spend more than 30 years in prison if she's convicted. We have more headlines online at usaradio.com. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
People are rushing to sign up for Obamacare ahead of today's open enrollment deadline. Correspondent Mark Mayfield fills us in.
More than 1 million people chose insurance through the Federal Health Care Exchange last week. That makes 4.7 million since open enrollment began on November the 1st. The total number is likely to fall short of last year's 9.2 million, which featured a longer enrollment period and more public outreach from the White House. Some states that run their own exchanges have extended the enrollment period.
Goldman Sachs is requiring some of its clients to set aside funds equal to the value of their Bitcoin futures trade. A spokesman says this requirement is part of a condition for clearing transactions. Several other trade companies are also imposing steeper requirements than the exchange, which experts say is common. Bitcoin's unpredictability has spurred many large banks to hold off on clearing trades. Some critics say requiring 100% by Goldman may be too high. A procession carrying the body of late San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee is underway. The motorcade took Mayor Lee from Duggan's mortuary in Daly City to stop by his house in the Glen Park neighborhood in the city. A public memorial will take place Sunday afternoon. Recapping our top story, President Trump is assuring law enforcement they have a loyal ally in the White House. Speaking at the FBI Academy's graduation ceremony in Virginia, President told members of law enforcement that he has their back. He praised the new FBI class after slamming the bureau at the White House. He also condemned anti-police sentiments in the U.S. and said the administration will not stand for it. Join us online for more news at usaradio.com. I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
Hello, I don't know if we're back on the air. It doesn't appear that we are. So we'll sit here for a few more minutes. Otherwise, obviously, you're not listening because you can't hear us.
active, their children are healthier, happier, and do better in school and at work.
Sandberg's project, Lean In Together, is partnering with the NBA and celebrities like Beyonce, Gwyneth Paltrow, Serena Williams, and Brad Paisley. It's being driven on social media and encouraging parents to take a 50-50 partnership in raising their children and leaning on fathers to help break gender stereotypes. Sheryl Sandberg says sometimes it's as simple as doing more around the house.
Girls with fathers who do household chores have broader career aspirations than daughters who don't see their fathers doing anything in the home. So any amount of, darling, you can do anything, is not as good as washing a dish.
Facebook COO.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
It's 9:05. It's time for Hunter Chamber Radio weather. We're at 11 degrees, partly cloudy skies in Flemington. Calm winds gusting up to 11 miles an hour. Got one more day of cold weather. Sunny and a high of 26 today. Winds light and variable. And tonight, a low of 7, some clouds and winds light and variable. And then, the thaw. Sunshine and some clouds on a high of 38, winds southwest at 5 to 10. Some clouds will give way to generally clear conditions overnight and a low of 28. Mostly sunny on Sunday, a high of 43. Sun and a few passing clouds and 44 on Monday. Cloudy skies early, then partly cloudy in the afternoon on Tuesday, a high of 47. We're up to 49 on Wednesday and stays in the 40s all next week. All my guests are going to change into their bathing suits and shorts and suntan lotion next week. 19 in White House, 15 in Lebanon, 17 in Phillipsburg, 17 in Stockton, 18 in Lambertville, and 11 in Raritan. Good morning, Hunterdon. That's Hunter Chamber Radio weather. This is one of my favorite days of the year. We've done this three times. This is the fourth time we've done this. Hunterdon Central Regional High School musical players, the cast of Crazy for You is here, and we're going to have a great time for the next hour talking with the characters and even doing a little singing and, well, no reason to do any dancing. Nobody's going to see it. But nonetheless, I have about 20 people in the studio. It is packed, and you're listening to the overture of Crazy for You, which is going to take place next week. So we're going to talk to our directors and bring everybody in here. Let me get all my microphones up, and we'll say hello to everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
And you are?
I'm Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. And your role is?
I'm student directing this show.
All right. You're student director, and you are co-director with another Sarah. Is that right?
Yeah, hi.
There she is. Okay, Sarah.
Hi.
Say hello to somebody out in Radio Land. I know your mom's listening, right?
Yeah, hi, Mom.
There you go. There you go. That was recorded, Mom, so you got that forever. All right.
Hi, Mom.
There you go. Another hi, Mom. Anybody say hi? There's always a big joke that nobody says hi to Dad, but that's okay. All right. Who else do we have on the microphones here?
I'm Dana.
Hi, Dana. What do you do?
I play Polly Baker.
All right, Polly. We're going to talk with you in a little bit because I got some interesting questions for you.
Oh, okay.
And then I got over here.
Hi, I'm Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. What is your role?
Alyssa,
sorry.
I play Irene Roth.
Irene Roth, okay. You guys are, Irene and Polly are interested in the same guy. It's kind of interesting.
Yes. Well,
I don't know if you guys knew that yet, but we'll find out. All right, so Sarah Squared,
yep.
Can you give us a little synopsis as to what this story is about?
Well, there's a man named Bobby Child who wants to be a dancer.
Right.
But his mom wants him to work at a bank. So she sends Bobby to Nevada to foreclose
on
a bank. On a theater. And there he meets Polly Baker, who he falls in love with.
Mm-hmm.
And